What a horrible, horrible situation if heaven was blocking your phone calls. Or they were screening, or the Lord was just a call screener like we have here on earth. Don't you love that? The invention of caller ID. Yeah. And the big red button that says decline. They shouldn't have invented that button. It should be green. It should be just green. Answer. Answer. There's a nice red button there. You push that and the call goes away. Hallelujah. I'm so glad the Lord doesn't screen the calls in heaven. Amen. He just got the green button and when we call, he pushes answer. Come on, someone say hallelujah to that. When we get to heaven, there's going to be no caller ID. No call blocking, no call screening. They'll be answering for your phone calls and your thought messages. Jesus, the light of the world. So as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. That was John 5. And Jesus brought light to that blind man's life. One who never saw light his entire life, all of a sudden his eyes were open and he could see the light of day. He could see images and trees and people and things. How beautiful it was. Think about it just for a second. What that would be like if you've never seen one thing in your entire life except darkness. And all of a sudden you have this incredible, overwhelming stimuli coming to your eyes and your brain. Wouldn't it be awesome? Even the ugly things would be acceptable because you can see them. It's something to look at, something to see. Most important is he could see Jesus. He opened his eyes and he saw Christ. He was able to see Christ. Walk while you have the light, John 12:35. Lest darkness come upon you. Lest darkness come upon you. So, John 3:19-21, this is the condemnation that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light. Hallelujah. That's it. They hate the light and they don't come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. Could we say that it's possible that people avoid coming to church on Sundays? Because they got something they don't want anybody to see? Yes. If you love the light, you want to run to where it is. You don't want to stay away and stay in the darkness and hope everything works out. Because when you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up in the ditch, according to the scriptures. And if there are other people who don't know where they're going, they're happy to lead you to that ditch, according to the scriptures. Amen. What does it say? The blind lead the blind. They both are going to end up in the ditch. That's why we need Christ. And why we need to be careful who we follow. Or who we acknowledge and listen to. And give a place in our lives. Mm-mm. Be careful. The darkness is there. But, verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be revealed. baby made manifest. That they are wrought in God. In other words, God's work in our life. We come. We come to the light. Luke 12 and verse 3. It says, therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. There's a frightening thought. Amen? Those little things you think you get away with saying that are there, you say in secret, you say privately, you some dirty thought, some dirty thing expressed. The Lord says it's going to be revealed, spoken in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed on the housetops. It sounds like Judgment Day is going to be an embarrassing time for some people. Repent. The redemption is coming. You know, normally in these studies, I try to stick exclusively to the New Testament and the words of Jesus, but I want to give this because it gives us understanding. The church is the light of the world. It has become the light of the world. Ephesians chapter 5 and says, For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you the light in the world. Sorry, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. So we see Jesus gone to heaven, and we see the commission given to the church to be the light of the world. To come where there's darkness and shine the light. The light came into the world. The world didn't understand it. But whoever comes to the light is set free. And so the church has that commission from heaven to be the light of the world. Let's look at another scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a privilege, what an awesome thing that Christ has given to us. I am the light of the world. And now it's you. You are the light of the world. Don't hide your light under a bushel. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 18... Paul's ministry is described as a continuation of the ministry of Christ. What is that? Paul said to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. What is darkness here correlated with? The power of Satan. To turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved, it's quite a challenge when you think about it. If we are not letting that light shine through us, then what's happening in us? If we're struggling with light and darkness in our own life, how can others be set free? How can anybody else see where to go? If that's the greatest struggle in our life, whether we're going to follow darkness or we're going to follow the light. If that becomes our morning, our night, that's our struggle every day. It's time to overcome that. It's time to make a decision. It's time to say, I'm going to let the light of Christ shine through me. I'm going to be a light in the world. Hallelujah. And there's going to be people who may hate you because you shine so brightly. And they don't want to be seen in their dirty, filthy, ungodly ways. But there are those out there who are looking for hope. And stumbling around in the darkness, they don't know. Think about it. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where to go next. They're just groping, hoping to find a way, hoping to find a path to peace, hoping to grasp onto something that feels like love and acceptance. But they can't find it because it's not in the darkness. And then when Jesus walks by, the sun shines. Hallelujah. What do? You get up and follow the light. Amen? Come follow me, of course. He's the light. Stick close. Keep him in sight. Don't get too far away or the darkness is going to envelop you and you won't know where to go anymore. Amen? Sticking close to Jesus, sticking close to the light to be able to see where you're going. And what else does the light reveal? Who else is there? Who are your family? Who is your brothers and sisters? The light illuminates those who are following Jesus. Those who want to be there as well. So there you go. In that realm and under that light or in that light is the fellowship of the saints, the strength and the power. And now, beloved, it's you and I. I often think about that wonderful, awesome day of Pentecost and the words that Jesus said when he said, I will come again. I'm the light of the world. I will come again. And he sent the Holy Ghost and light, fire, which is light, the Holy Ghost and fire. And it began to shine all over the place. It started in Jerusalem and it went to Judea and then Samaria and then it went over. Thomas took it over to India. Amen. They were preaching the gospel of light, the gospel of hope and salvation in a dark and dying place. And you, my beloved brother, sister, are redeemed because of that light. Amen. God has blessed you. What's the message from the Lord? Walk in the light. Yes. Stay close to the light. Don't drift out there in the darkness. It's like that, you know, that sheep that walks off there somewhere. The next thing Jesus said was, I am the door of the sheep. And it's the last one that I'm going to do for now. There are other things. But I want to group them with a different subject, if I may. Jesus said he's the door to the sheep. He's the way, the entrance to be part of the flock. And that's where we want to be. We want to be amongst the flock who Jesus is the shepherd. Because I'll read a few verses and you'll see why, of course, you already know, right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Hallelujah. He knows every single one of them, and he's given a name to them. Yeah, it's one of those awesome chapters. The whole chapter's awesome. Now the whole book is awesome. No, I love this chapter. And you know what? I love that I'm a sheep. It takes a lot of pressure off. Amen? How many were trying to be a lion or like a Rocky Mountain goat? It doesn't say that he's looking for Rocky Mountain goats, does it? They're amazing animals, aren't they? Have you ever seen them up there? And those things are amazing. Their balance, their sure-footedness. But as a sheep, I look at them and I think, wow, that'd be awesome. And then I hear the Lord's voice saying, so off we go. Look like you're having fun over there. Sheep is almost a humiliating term. Because they're not a useless animal, but they have no ability to defend themselves. What do? They have like a huge fur coat, so maybe if you don't bite hard the first time, you won't only get a mouthful of hair. And they make the most fearsome noise. Meh. Meh. Scare wolves and lions. They're running for their lives at the sound of a meh. No, they don't have anything. Those poor little things they're vulnerable to everything. And you're one of them. And you need to be led. If you don't have a leader, you're going to die for sure. You're going to die one way or the other. Bugs, insects, disease, falling over, upside down. You know, there's so many ways that those sheep can die. They're sensitive to everything. They get all kinds of diseases and stuff if they don't have a shepherd. He calls them all by his name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his sheep, his own sheep, notice that he says that, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Isn't that what we're doing? We want to know the voice of Christ. We want to have the mind of Christ. We want to know what Jesus said about everything to do with our lives. And so we're going to continue this until that's done, which probably will never be done. They know his voice. And a stranger, they're not going to follow a stranger in verse 5, but will flee, run from him, because they don't know the voice of strangers. There's a comfort in that voice of Christ. Think about it for a second. Yes. Our authority to study everything that Jesus said. There's comfort in that voice. Amen. There's comfort in knowing those words. Don't be afraid. I'm with you to the end. I will never leave you or forsake you. Yes! I'm comforted by his words. How many are comforted by his words? When troubles come, we need to draw those words of Jesus into our lives and say, thank you, Lord. I know that in the worst of the worst times, that you're never going to leave me. That you love me and that you're walking beside me. And that you'll talk with me and we can have fellowship right now here today. Verse 6 says, This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they didn't understand the things that which he was speaking. Verse 7 says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. The explanation. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture, because I'm going to be their shepherd. The thief doesn't come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And is he here in this generation? Today? Yes. And what does he want to do? He wants to take the sheep that belong to Christ and to destroy them. And believe me, without Christ, we are defenseless. It's Christ is my strength. It's in the name of Jesus. When trouble comes, I'm in the name of Jesus, rebuking it in Jesus' name. Come on, is that the truth or not? You're not saying anybody else. You're not saying your name. You're not so high and mighty anymore. You're a defenseless little sheep if you don't have Christ in your life. And the enemy is looking to destroy you without Christ. The thief doesn't come but to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I am come that they might have life. Hallelujah, what a shepherd! And that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not someone that the boss hired to work 8 hours a day and sees a huge pack of wolves coming and runs for his life. No, good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Oh, hallelujah. How could we be so blessed? The Lord heard our bleating and came to our rescue. Some were caught in the thistles and the thorns, right? Got stuck, those thorns in your furry hide. And Jesus came along and heard you. Whatever that is. And picked you up and untangled you and carried you back to the fold. I want to serve him. I want to follow that shepherd. I want him to be my shepherd. That's David said that, right? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. King David was saying, I'm a sheep. Oh yeah, they call me the king of Israel, but really I'm a sheep. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He's the shepherd. He that is a hireling, not a shepherd, whose own sheep the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. And the hireling flees because he's a hireling. He doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Know my sheep, and they know me. I am known of mine. My sheep know me. That's what he's saying. That's why I think this, for today, this is the most important message that I can teach, that I can learn. Is what Jesus said. That I might know him. Paul said that, right? That we might know him. We might know, we might think like him. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And verse 16, which is such an awesome verse. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." How many know that he was speaking about the Gentiles? Because he came for the sheep of the lost house of Israel, or the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he said, there's another flock. "And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd." Hallelujah. Isn't that awesomely exciting? Write down Psalm 23. I already gave it away, but I mean, definitely that should go with this part. It's not traditionally the words of Jesus, but it's something that I wanted to say. And I want to just take a couple of minutes to speak to you something that is on my heart, and it's very important that we come to terms with it. And that is that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's what it says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Death and life. Not good and bad, not happy and sad. Are you listening? Amen. Whose tongue is he talking about? Yours and mine. You know, many people have died because of their tongue. Throughout history, many have died because of their tongue, because they couldn't control their tongue. James says, all manner of beasts of the earth can be tamed, but the tongue can no man tame. Think about it, brothers and sisters. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And to you and I as a Christian, that is most important. And you know, I want you to understand that it's contrary to our nature to speak life or to speak hope or to speak good things. It's not our nature to do that. In fact, it's against our nature. Are you following me so far? But it is the nature and the fruit of the Spirit of Christ. To use our mouth to accomplish the work of Christ, that's what we've been called to do. To allow our natural self to take over our tongues, to take over our mouths, and just be used for whatever comes to mind and destroy. We become an enemy of the things of Christ. You see how close it is? Listen, I really, this is so important. It's so close. It's in us to hurt. It's in us to speak death. That's our natural self. But since we've received the Holy Spirit, now it's in us to speak hope, to speak life, to give life. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, that anyone who drinks can live. I don't like people that are nasty. I don't like people that can't encourage, that can't exhort. I think that's a sign of the last days. You know, mother against father and against son and daughter and that. I think of Israel when they said, here's Barabbas and Jesus. And they opened up their mouths and they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And it was like a fever that came over them. And they yelled out, crucify him, crucify him. He didn't do anything. But you know, the buzz was around. False accusations, somebody heard that, and then they took it, and they told somebody, and they told somebody. Pretty soon, all of them were gathered around there, calling out for the crucifixion of the most beautiful thing that ever happened to the face of this earth. Death. Death right there. And I listen to some people talk, and I think, you know, that you have to grow up and take on responsibility and be mature in the things that you say. Learn to keep quiet when you lost control. Yes? I know for me, when things start building up and it's a steam engine coming, I need to just go away and be quiet. I need not to speak to anybody. I know that. I praise God it doesn't happen as often as it does, as it used to be. But I used to have a very bad temper when I was growing up. But now I have a wonderful temper because Jesus Christ has taken over my mind and my life. Probably some of you really love me, that my temper. And I love you too. But I just want you to understand that if you speak the things that are untoward, you are going to hell. There is no hope. There is no butter. There is no sugar. That's where you're going. Jesus said that if you offend the least of these, better that a millstone were hanged about your neck and cast into the deepest sea than offend one of these, my little one. Yeah, it's serious. It's really serious. The least, not even the best, the least. Yet people, they don't care. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, the Lord is teaching us again to do with words. What we sow, we reap. Amen? If all you sow is contention, that's what you're going to get back. If you sow love and hope, even when you don't feel like it, you say something to somebody and says, praise God. God bless you. I need you. You're important in my life. Learning to do that's the most powerful thing you can do. So he spoke of planting seeds with words that we should later enjoy the fruit of what we had spoken. Amen. Amen. Not just happy and sad is in the power of the tongue, but life and death. And you know, I just want to give you one example and then we'll go home. And I've taught this many times because to me it's a powerful portion of scripture. It's found in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And it was the power of the tongue that destroyed a whole generation of people in the wilderness that were about to inherit the promised land. And I guess, you know, you could go to court and a case could be made that this is what they saw. There were giants, there were walled cities, there were everything. Remember when the spies were sent out? Read the chapters at home, 13, 14. They were sent out to spy the land. They came back. Two of them said, let's go. God's with us, we can overcome them. 10 of them, the majority, said, no, we can't go. We are like, pray for them. They're going to steal us. They're going to kill, take our children and our wives and everything we own. That's what they were saying. Nothing had happened. Not one thing had happened. Not one sword. There wasn't even a call for battle. That was just a report on what they'd seen. Do you get it? They took something that hadn't happened, that had no possibility of happening if you believe the word of God. And sowed it among a whole congregation of 600,000 or more people. And none of those people inherited the promises of God. It all started by 10 people who agreed together that there was no hope for Israel to have the promises that God said. And there were two beautiful men, Joshua and Caleb, who not only had them, but said, no, let's go up at once. Don't listen to this. These people are subject to God. They're subject to his word. The land is ours. Let's go and take the land. I think that the last days we're going to see a lot more of things just like that. That there are people that want to discourage the good-hearted people, that want to tear down the Christians, so they'll come to you as a Christian and say horrible things about the church or the people or whatever organization is out there. Not nice, horrible. And people feel freely to talk about the Baptists or whatever it is. I won't do it. No, I won't do it. I won't get caught in that stupid trap. To think that I can judge a church over here, a church over there, or the new church that started West Coast in Park Royal, God bless them. God bless them to win souls for the kingdom. Hallelujah. I don't care if half the church from here went there. God bless them. Take good care of the sheep. You know? Hallelujah. They're not my enemies. They're my family. I have to be like that. Right? Everyone born of the Spirit is my brother and sister. Remember that, brothers and sisters, and let those things come out of your mouth. Don't look to tear down somebody. When somebody comes to you, beware. The enemy is there. Because the Lord speaks life. And you can sow it and have good fruit and have a wonderful afternoon.